there are some things that are just overwhelming to me. Of course, it doesn't take a whole lot, but then there are those things that God has done that it's hard for me to wrap my mind around it. Great is our God today. Mighty, knowing the end from the beginning, and those things even in between. I sometimes marvel, Lord, you that have created the universe, you that have hung this planet in space, you that have stretched out the stars. You know, the Bible says over in one place, what is man that thou art even mindful of him? But I'm thankful today that God is love and God is gracious and merciful today. We sometimes think about God as being sitting upon a judgment throne, and he is righteous and he is pure. And there's no doubt about that whatsoever. But then again, I think about what he has done. And especially this time of the year. The Bible says in one place, it says, when the fullness of the time was come. You see, God had this all planned out, even in past eternity, that Christ would come in flesh. He would be born of a virgin, that he would be born to be not just the Son of Man, but he was manifest the Son of God. And all the way from Bethlehem's cradle, there is a shadow that goes all the way to the cross of Calvary. He came to give himself that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. And we want to read some scripture that is found, and it's very familiar scripture that's found in the second chapter of the book of Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 2, starting with the first verse. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. And of course, Matthew wrote this as being one of his disciples, one of his followers, one of his apostles. You'll find that Matthew is also known as Levi. That's his Hebrew name. And his name means the gift of Jehovah. You know, everything fits together, doesn't it? Matthew writes about this account, but Matthew's name means gift of Jehovah. God gave a gift unto us. And we find that as he wrote this, he wrote not just about a king that was born, but a Messiah that had been promised years and centuries ago that would come into the world and not only redeem his people and make it possible that they can have a right relationship with God, but he also made it possible that we as Gentiles would be brought into the family of God. He died for all men. He came for all men. Thanks be unto God today. I may not even get to my text. I don't know. But in the second chapter of the book of Matthew, we find these words. Now, I take it that Jesus was a little bit older than just being newborn. And they weren't in a manger, but they were in a house. I don't know. They might have brought the cradle with them. I really don't know. But we find these words is written by and recorded by the Apostle Matthew. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come for to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, that is the prophet Micah, wrote this. He said, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, not a governor like we think of a governor, but a governor who will be governor over all today. And he shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem. And he said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and I may worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and it stood over where that the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child, that is Jesus, with Mary his mother. And what did they do? They fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their gifts, they presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return unto Herod, they departed into their own country another way. If correctly read, this includes the first down through the 12th verses of the second chapter of the book of Matthew. And we ask that you would pray for us this morning, that God would just somehow allow us for a little bit to delve into the mysteries of God and into the will and the purpose of God today. The Bible says in one place, Great is the mystery of godliness. Christ was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, crucified upon a cross, received up into glory, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It's a mystery to me. But once in a while, God opens these things up and allows us to look and to see something marvelous and something that is beyond humanity to understand it and to comprehend it with our mind. Many times it's comprehended with the heart. It's comprehended with the heart. Our text and our verse will come from a portion of the first verse of the second chapter. And I'm going to do something just a little bit different these next few weeks. I'm just going to dwell on this chapter. Maybe next week. I don't know. If God directs us towards something else, we'll do that.
Amen.
But it seems like God is leading us towards this. And it says that there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've looked at and we've seen about the shepherds, how that God brought them into the understanding and the knowledge that Christ the Savior was born. And you know, sometimes God puts something in the narrative today that gives us an idea of what is coming, what this is about. John called Christ the Lamb of God. Whenever that John saw Christ, he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And isn't it something that when he came into this world, he was laid in a manger that was suited for lambs that had just been born. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And these weren't something that you bought at Walmart next to the Pampers. But this was something that, my friend, was very special. These swaddling clothes were very unique. You see, whenever that the priest in the temple out wore these things, you know, they didn't go to a seamstress and say, Hey, you know, can you sew up my tunic? No, they didn't do that. They gave them unto these shepherds. Why did they give them unto the shepherds? Because the shepherds were special shepherds. They were Levitical shepherds that were watching upon a very special type of lamb and of sheep. These sheep were going to be used in the temple. They were going to be sacrificed on the Day of Atonement to cover the sins of Israel. I know I've gotten off on that, but then we find later, much later, that there were men that came out of the east into Jerusalem. Who were these men? Why did they come? I don't know that I'll ever understand all of it to where that I can preach what's upon my heart today, what God has just filled me with. But I want you to know, my friend, these men came out of Persia. They came out of, and you'll look it up and you'll find that it's the area of Babylon and Syria and Persia. And sometimes it's called Parthia, or they were referred to as Parthenians. Now, I'm not here to give just a history lesson, but I want you to see how marvelous the God is and how he has all these things under control. You remember Daniel? You remember we did a study on Daniel. Daniel was taken into captivity at probably the age of 17. He was taken into captivity along with, they're referred to in the Babylonian tongue as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was actually four of them. And they were going to be used uniquely. They were going to be used as a special caste of individuals that King Xerxes and Ahasuerus wanted around him. They were referred to as Magi. Now, you'll find over in the book of Jeremiah, in the 39th chapter, 3rd and 13th verses, that they're referred to. There's a name that you'll find in there. This is the first time I ever found it. Always read over it. Didn't mean much to me. But the name was Rab Mag. Rab-Mag. Now, I don't know what it is in the Persian tongue and in the Hebrew tongue. But it had to do with them being wise men. Wise men. Magi. They were special advisors unto the rulers. You remember whenever that we preached about or taught about or whatever that it was, how that the king always had advisors around him. He always had satraps and presidents, not the president like we think of today, but they were special rulers. And the ones that he revered the most were the advisors that were always around him. These were men of great learning. They were skilled in all of the arts of the sciences, the known sciences, and the known laws, and the known histories, and all of those things. They even interpreted dreams. Remember whenever that Daniel was called in to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar? He didn't even know what the king had dreamed, but God revealed the dream to Daniel, and Daniel interpreted. That's who these men were. They were men that the Bible had spoken of that would come. We find over in, that would come and give honor unto Jesus. It says in Psalms chapter 68 and verse 29, because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings or magi bring presents unto thee. You see, these things are sometimes hidden away and kind of obscure in the Old Testament. But nevertheless, God had spoken about how that the Gentile kings would come from the isles of Tarshish and of Sheba, and they would give honor unto the Messiah that would come. And you know, that's an interesting thing as Daniel and some of these men were brought up. Daniel had an influence upon it. Daniel didn't embrace their religion. He stayed true unto God, even to the point that he was sentenced unto death. And you know, God had a special place for Daniel, a special task for him. That's why that God used Daniel. Daniel's God saved him and kept him from harm, but used him for a purpose. While Daniel was there in Babylon, he became head over these wise men. And all of this took place some 500, 600, 700 years before the Christ came. You see how God works things together? Jesus wasn't born by accident. He was being planned out by God. And you know, whenever that you put it all in a row, my friend, I don't know about you, but I get overwhelmed with it. The greatness of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. But Daniel, while that he was there in Babylon, exercised what he had been taught as a young child, how that he still clung unto the Lord God Jehovah. Three times a day he would open up his window towards Jerusalem and he would pray. Faithfully, three times a day. And God blessed him and God gave him wisdom, but he coupled that along with what he studied there as pertaining to what he would be doing as a magi or a wise man. And he was joined by others. And these men were very skilled in what they understood. They knew it all. They didn't need AI. They didn't need Google. They understood all that was opened unto them to understand. They were also a class that was referred to as the kingmakers. They would go to a certain province or whatever that the case might be, and there, they would make a king. That is, they would anoint a king. And they had two criteria that they depended upon in choosing a king. First of all, the king had to be one who was just as skilled and with understanding like they did. They weren't going to put somebody in who didn't know what was going on. They anointed and they chose one that understood the sciences. They understood the laws of the Medes and the Persians. And I want you to know that the second criteria was that they examined to see if this king was going to be worthy of being a king. And you know, nations revered them, but there were some nations that feared them. And Herod was one of them. Because you see, Herod was called, he called himself king of the Jews, but he wasn't. He was just placated by the Romans just to stay there and babysit Judah and keep it in line and to make sure that peace reigned there. And you know, Herod wasn't even a Jew. Do you know that? Amazing. He was an Edomite. You have to pardon my speech impediment sometimes comes forth. But he was an Edomite. And all Herod was concerned about was keeping his throne, having wealth. So whenever that these men came and said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And you understand that whenever that we talk about these kingmakers, these kings that would come, there were three that presented the gifts, but there was an entourage with them. They had a huge army with them. And they were formidable. Even Rome was kind of scared of them. And so whenever that they bivouacked outside of the gates of Jerusalem, we're not told how many that there were. There may have been thousands. It was enough to get the attention of Herod. But my point is today where these men came from. And how in the world did they know that there was a king that was going to be born who would take away sin? I think through the teaching of Daniel, Because you find over in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, only places I've ever found where that the word Messiah is used, Daniel talked about the Messiah that would come. In fact, he repeated it twice, never repeated it again. It was during Daniel's prayer. Daniel's prayer for the nation that they might be restored. And Daniel even repented for the nation. Have you ever heard of somebody who was so distraught and so taken by how that the nation was that he took the blame upon himself? And he said, "We have sinned. I have sinned." You know, God just answered through Gabriel and said, "Daniel, don't you worry about that. But here's what's going to happen." I tell you, I don't know about anybody else, but there have been times whenever I've prayed over things and been distraught and beat the ground and call on God and cry out to Him. And then all of a sudden there's this calmness, the presence of God. He said, "I've taken care of that, but here I want to show you something." You probably will say, like the Apostle Paul, "Your learning has made you mad." Well, I may be mad, but I'm saved and mad. Amen. I am thankful today for the sovereignty of Almighty God. But my friend Daniel had taught these men, had instructed them. They heard about Daniel's prayer. They saw Daniel pray. And they understood, even though there were some of them that worshiped a different god called Zoroaster, there was a little group of them that worshiped the God of Daniel. Isn't that something? We think that there's no God in some of these pagan lands. Wish I had time to go into all of this. But there was a preacher, a Japanese preacher, one time that I became acquainted with, lived in Okinawa, I believe it was. Anyway, he was telling that one day he was preaching and there was a man that came to him. And he said that this man told him, he said, "I heard preaching like this once before." And he began to ask him, he said, "Where did you hear that?" He said, "Whenever that I was in the Imperial Army of Japan, the Empire of Japan, we went in and invaded China." And he said, "We were way into the middle of it. All of our brigade and so on and so forth." And he said, "We came across this man that was there. And he said, I understood a little bit of the Chinese language, but he said he was preaching about this man Jesus that you've been preaching about." Brother, I want to tell you, God has His witnesses. He's got His witnesses. We're still to go into all the world and spread the gospel. But my friend, I want to tell you, you'd be surprised where His people, where the people that understand the gospel, that have been touched by it and have been affected by it, you'd be surprised where they're at. So these kingmakers, they came with a mission. They were going to proclaim, but you know, something happened along the way where that they were following a star. Now, you'll hear people talk about the controversy over the star. Some people say that it was that God aligned Jupiter and Mars and it made a great glow. And you know, He may have done it. God can do anything with His creation He wants to do. He doesn't have to come to Paul Kofler and say, "Paul, what do you think about me doing this?" I've never had him do that. Have you? No. But you know, this star moved. Now, he could have done it. But you know where that glorious glow first originated at? Whenever that the tabernacle was built. And God stood over the top of it in the form of a pillar of fire. Same pillar of fire and glory of God that had led them out of Egypt. Same pillar that had parted the Red Sea. I wonder if this was the, what they call, and pardon me for doing this. I just got some, you know, some going on. But it was referred to as a Shekinah. That was the special glory of God, unlike any other glory, unlike anything else. I sometimes wonder if it was that same glory that went with Israel, that parted the Red Sea, that led them through the desert to Canaan. They followed this. And they knew that there was something special about this because they had read and they had studied the Old Testament, believe it or not. These men studied the Old Testament. Isn't that something? Bunch of guys born in pagan Persia found God, read these prophecies. I want to tell you something today. My friend, that star, that glory got their attention because they read something and they studied something over in the five books of the law, in specifically the book of Numbers, Numbers 24 and 14. And you'd be surprised who the source was that God used to bring this about, this prophecy. And this is what got their attention. There was a prophecy that was made by a man by the name of Balaam. Now, I know Balaam was not good in the end, but God used him to bless Israel as they came through Canaan. And we find in the 17th verse, this is the prophecy of Balaam. He said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Listen to what he says. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall strike the corners of Moab, and destroy the children of Seth. Moab always represented a state of sin. Christ would conquer sin. Christ would conquer death. He that would come. And this is the prophecy that those men clung unto. And you know, they followed this glorious star, this glorious appearance of the creation of God. Maybe this thing was just waiting to be used of God. Can you imagine? You know, whenever rabbinical students get together, we used to do this in preacher conferences and seminars, they get together. And oh, it was kind of an interesting thing to listen to us and to listen to them. You would think that they were arguing and mad at each other. No, they were debating, what do you think the scripture means on this? What do you think the scripture means on this? Jesus said over in one place, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that speak of thee. The whole of the Old and New Testament can be summed up in one man, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so these men came, and they followed this star, and they followed this glory that was taking place before them. And you know, I don't know much about their, you know, all of their background, but under the influence of Daniel and by the prophecy of Balaam, and oh yes, don't forget, over in the book of Isaiah, it says in the 60th chapter, in the first verse, he says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen of you, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Not only did shepherds come, and it even talks about that up here, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee, the rams of Naboth. He even talks about shepherds in there. He talks about wise men in that prophecy. I want you to know, my friend, this thing was not just hidden in a corner, but God has little by little allowed us to see into this. And you might say, well, preacher, so what? Now I'm going to have to get rid of the three wise men that I've got on my display. No, I'm not telling you to do that. Now I'm going to get to that later about those three gifts. But those three representatives out of that group, kings, if you will, brought forth gifts to give unto Jesus. That's who these wise men were. And you know, I'm going to leave you with this. Here's a baby. Now, how are they going to cross-examine him about how much science he knows? You know, and someone will say, and I love this, little children, out of the mouths of babes comes wisdom. A little girl asked me one time, said, did Mary have to change his diapers? I said, well, he was a man. I would imagine so. Well, did he cry? Yeah, I'm sure he did. He was 100% man and 100% God. And you know, I know that the intellectuals and the intelligentsia can't figure that out. You can't figure it out sometimes, but you take it by faith. That's how that you understand it. So with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation to them that believe. But here's this baby. He's not going to be able to answer their questions. I would venture to say, and this sounds ridiculous, I doubt very much he knew of their sciences. But do you know what? They didn't make him a king. He was already a king. And what they said was, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They didn't say, we're going to make him a king. He was already a king. He was already a Savior. He was already a Messiah. He was already all of these things that the Scriptures tell us about him today. And I want to tell you, his pathway from the cradle was not going to be a pathway out in the world to tell them, you know what, we're just on a par with Buddha and Confucius and so on and so forth. He was going straight to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. He was to give his life so that those who would repent and believe upon him and base their eternal existence upon him would find eternal life. I want to tell you, he far exceeds Buddha and Confucius and all of the philosophers. I'm not knocking them down, but I want to tell you, been there, done that, and my friend, they can't hold a candle to what Jesus Christ is today. He was already a king. Think about it today. He didn't have to be made a king, or he didn't have to steal it like Herod did. He was already a king. Where did he get his kingship? In past eternity. In past eternity. So as we close our few remarks, I realize I've gone off on a lot of things today, but I want to tell you something. My friend, whenever that I look at that crib and I look at the depictions of the wise men and I think about what I've read and studied in the Scriptures, I look at it and I just marvel at God. I just marvel. No wonder David said, oh Lord, your ways are past finding out. Your understanding and your wisdom is beyond. But I'm thankful, my friend, that not only is it that, but he sent his son into the world. Get this. Now, I believe this vehemently. Born of a virgin. Amen? Born of a virgin. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. My friend, that was born of her was not of the seed of man. Oh, I could get off on that too. I love y'all. I appreciate you putting up with me. I sometimes feel like what they said about the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill. What's this babbler going to say today?
but all of y'all. And I hope today that you could gain from this. God's got it under control. God has got it all within his hands. I don't care what Putin does. I care if he dropped a bomb on me. Yeah. But I don't care what Putin's doing. And I want to tell you something. There will never be peace in the Middle East until they find the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
There will never be peace. Because you see, it's not about the geopolitical alignments and everything. But it's about individuals finding peace in their heart with God. And the only way they can find it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So God bless you today. God be with you throughout this week. And if we meet during the week, God bless you then. I love y'all. And we will conclude our thoughts on this. I've just about drained myself to where I'm not like I used to be, where I could go about an hour and a half, but my heart is still full. And I'll be calling Shirley up and preaching to her over the cell phone. But I want to tell you, I'm thankful today for what God did for us and the gift that he's given unto us today. It's the best Christmas gift to get. And it is, pardon the pun, it's the gift that keeps on giving.